Deuteronomy 33, and the words we want to think about are found in verse 25 of the chapter. Deuteronomy 33, and the 25th verse. These are words directed to the tribe of Asher. In the Word of God, in two places, there's a blessing bestowed upon the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob, the father of each one of the founders of those tribes, on his deathbed, gathered his sons around. In the book of Genesis, you read of that. And he pronounced his blessing upon his sons and upon their future generations. And here, Moses, the servant of God, or the man of God, as he is sometimes spoken about in the Bible, Moses, before his death, the 34th chapter, the very next chapter of Deuteronomy, records Moses' death for us. His death and funeral service was very unique. The Lord was the only one there when Moses died, and the Lord was the one that actually conducted Moses' funeral service. There was very good reason for that. The fact that he was buried as he was in a place that no one knew the location, one of the reasons was that the Lord knew that it would become a place of worship or a place of veneration in subsequent generations for the children of Israel. So the Lord sought to overrule in that matter. In the book of Jude as well, you remember that the scriptures tell us that Satan disputed with Michael the archangel about the body of Moses. And that's a very, very interesting subject. But before his death, Moses pronounced his blessing upon the 12 tribes. And here's his blessing towards Asher. These words in verse 25 are words that we would often use in pastoral visitation, those that are experiencing sickness and infirmity. And what an encouragement they are. It says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." There's really two main subjects in the verse, shoes and strength, if you want them in an alliterated form. The shoes is something that is especially of interest to the ladies, but the shoes here are a wee bit unusual. Shoes shall be of iron and brass. But it's not the shoes that we want to think about today. It's the matter of strength that is mentioned there. Can emphasize this to you at the outset. It is true. There are some feelings in life that people don't like to admit to. And one of the feelings, one of the emotions that people generally don't like to admit to is the feeling of weakness. We live in a world, men and women, you will know this to be so. We live in a world where everyone has to portray themselves as being strong. Society today, to its shame, looks down on weakness. It is no time for those that can't cope. In fact, it's true to say there's times that weakness is ridiculed, it's laughed at, and even scorned by the multitudes. In a world, and it's the world in which we live, but in a world where everything has to do with image, people go out of the way to give the impression, "I'm not getting old. I'm not getting tired. I'm not getting sick. I'm not getting out of my depth. I'm on top of life. I'm on top of my circumstances." People go out of their way to give that impression, even if often that is far from being the case, far from being the reality. I want to stress to you, men and women, people do feel weak at times. And maybe that's how you feel today. You can be weak physically, maybe because of a sickness, an illness. You can be weak emotionally. If you think of the sickness passing through it, it can drain your emotions. Even because of grief and sorrow, can leave you weak emotionally. We can feel at times weak with regard to our ability. We look around and we see so many capable people all around us. And sometimes that gives us feelings of inadequacy and so on. Weak with regard to our ability. We can feel weak financially. The difficult days that we live in. And that is true of some businesses, some industries in which many of you are involved in, weak financially. And there's times it is true that we're even weak spiritually, weak in the faith. Weakness is a common experience in life. It can be caused by sickness, caused by grief, caused by exhaustion, caused by crisis, by pressure being placed upon us, by a shock that comes into our life or into our circumstances. Weakness, men and women, is caused by so many things. But let me stress this to you. I want you all to understand that despite what the world would teach and what the world would suggest, it's not wrong and it's not bad to admit that you are weak and to admit to having feelings of weakness. It's not wrong and bad to do that. You think of King David. Whenever Joab, his general, killed Abner, Abner, remember, had been Saul's general, Saul's military leader, and Joab killed him. And David said, "I am this day weak, though anointed king." It was not quite an admission. In all probability, the weakness David in particular was referring to there was the weakness of his kingdom. Abner was going to bring the whole nation to David, bring the remaining tribes under David's control. They would all be united under one king and under one monarch, and it's probably that weakness. But you think of the admission that he makes, "I am this day weak." And perhaps those words sum you up this morning. That's maybe just exactly how you feel today as you're sitting in the meeting. "I am this day weak." If it is, well, I want you to know it's not wrong to acknowledge that. It's certainly not wrong to acknowledge it to the Lord. Because really, when you acknowledge your weakness, all you're saying is this. You're saying that you need help. And especially you need His help. You need the Lord's help to cope with whatever trial you may be facing today or facing at this time. So I want you to see, men and women, that this text is a great comfort. It's a great help, a great encouragement in times of weakness. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Here's a promise, and it's the title we've given to the message this morning. Here's a promise of strength for the way. For whatever way you have to go, for whatever path life might lead you along. Notice, first of all, something about this being personal strength. The text says, "As thy days." The words are directed to you personally this morning. Isn't it a humbling thing to consider, men and women, that God, who is holy and almighty, the sovereign ruler of the universe, the creator of all things, that God speaks personally and individually to his people? Just take that in, the wonder, the privilege that that is. If you think of the words recorded in the book of Kings, "The word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying," the word of the Lord, imagine that, that the great God of heaven spoke personally to his servant. Think of the words of Isaiah the prophet that are so familiar to us. "I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." A personal call, so personal that the Lord says, "I've even spoken your name. I've attached your name personally to the very call." So God speaks to his people personally and individually. Depending on who they are, depending on where they live, depending on what circumstances that they are facing. You know, it is a great wonder to consider that no two people are the same. Every person in this world is different. Their circumstances and their needs, they're different too. And that's true of us all in this meeting this morning. Your circumstances and your weaknesses today, your needs, They are all different. There's that old saying, you often hear it repeated in prayer, as our faces differ, so do our needs. But let me emphasize this, men and women. Whatever your weakness is today, whatever your need may be, the Lord wants to speak to you about it. And the Lord wants to give you the strength that you need to get you through it and to help you to carry on into the future. So here's a message, here's a promise that you can take to your own heart this morning. The Lord assures us and He assures you, as thy days, as your days, whatever days you're in, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You don't need the same strength as others in the meeting this morning. You don't need the same strength maybe as your husband or as your wife, the same strength as your parents or maybe other members of the congregation. You don't need the same strength that others do. But what the Lord is saying to you is, whatever your situation, whatever your need is today, whatever it might be, the Lord can and the Lord will supply it for you. You think of Paul before Nero. And Paul felt his weakness that day as he stood in the royal palace in Rome. How do we know that he felt his weakness? Well, he told us. Because he said the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. Why did he need strength that day? Why did he need to be strengthened in body and in soul and spirit and so on? It's because he felt so weak as he stood there to give testimony before the mighty Nero. And what that incident illustrates for us is the Lord provides the strength that you need yourself for whatever demands are being made upon you just at this time. You ask me this morning, how will the Lord strengthen me? Will it not be by increasing your confidence in yourself or increasing your confidence in the flesh? Remember what the Savior said in the Garden of Gethsemane, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Never forget that, men and women. One reason why we are so weak as God's people in the day in which we live is because we depend too much upon the flesh. How will the Lord strengthen you? Well, here's how He'll do it. By upholding you, by supporting you Himself, by His power and by His might. You look down the chapter there to that 27th verse. It's a great verse, and it's one that is so very well known. The words of the 27th verse of the chapter, the eternal God is thy refuge. And notice these words especially. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Those are words just to stop and ponder for a moment. What's underneath you today, men and women? The everlasting arms of God. Now remember, God doesn't have arms. God doesn't have any bodily part. The Bible teaches that God is pure spirit. The children in the meeting that are learning the shorter catechism will know the answer to the question, what is God? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is pure spirit. But the Bible does attribute bodily parts to God. The term that's used for that is anthropomorphism. Anything that is the word anthro at the beginning of it is to do with man. And it's the attributing of bodily parts, those things that we identify mainly with men and women, attributing those to God. Why does the Bible do that? Why does the Bible speak about God's hand and God's eye and God's arm and so on? Well, for very good reason. It's to help us. It's to help our understanding. Our understanding of what God does for us and how God helps us day by day. You just think of a father, and many fathers and grandfathers in the meeting this morning. Well, you think of a father protecting, a father caring, a father upholding his weak and helpless child. Will you get that picture in your mind this morning? Because that's what the Lord's speaking about here. That's the example that He's giving. That's what He will do for you today in all your weakness. Underneath, holding you up, are His everlasting arms. What an encouragement that is, brethren and sisters. So when you feel weak, when you feel tired, when you feel weary, when you think that you're at the point that you can't go on, and when you think you've got to that place where you're going to fall, remember, you have an unfailing support. You have an everlasting strength because he is upholding you and he's doing it with his omnipotent power. So there's a word here about personal strength. I want you to see as well, there's a word here about proportionate strength. It says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The reality is, and you know it to be true, the reality is that not every day, not every period of life is the same. There are good days and there are many bad days. There are times of sickness and there are times of grief. There are periods of youth and then there are periods of old age. And each has its unique challenges. There are periods of education for the young. Periods of developing a career for those that are older. Then there's a period of parenthood. There are days of temptation and days of trouble. Life brings times of testing and times of great hardship. What Peter in his epistle called the fiery trial. In other words, the extreme testing of the child of God. So the reality is, not every day or every period of life is the same. There are some periods of life and there are some days that bring upon us new demands and greater demands than we've ever known before. But I want you to see, brethren and sisters, that what the Lord assures you of here is strength to meet, strength to match, whatever sort of days, whatever sort of circumstances you might be facing and you might have to pass through. That means the more demands that are placed upon you, in proportion to the challenge, in proportion to the requirement of every day, then the more strength he will give and the more help he will provide. The hymn writer penned it well when they said, to multiplied sorrows, as the sorrows of life multiply to us, his multiplied peace. There's a multiplied provision that God gives us to meet all of those trials and all of those griefs. You see, men and women, his provision for us increases. And it increases in proportion to the demands that are placed upon us from day to day and week to week. And what a comfort that is. What an encouragement that should be to our hearts today. If you need more strength today for whatever you have to do than you did yesterday, if more is expected of you today than it was yesterday or last week, then be assured of this. There will be more strength for you today. That is what the Lord is pledging and promising to do for you here. And remember this. He'll not give you the strength in advance. He'll only give it to you at the moment that it is needed. Perhaps you're worried this morning, as you said in the meeting, you're worried that you don't have the strength to face the future. You don't have the strength to face some future appointment, maybe at the hospital. You don't have the strength to face some future surgery or procedure that you're going to have to pass through. Maybe you're concerned and worried this morning you'll not have the strength to deal with whatever circumstances that you know awaits you and your family next week. Well, the Lord wants you to know this. Whenever the day comes, in fact, men and women, we could bring it down and say, whenever the hour comes, you'll have the strength that you need to face that and to pass through it. Isn't that what the Lord said, a similar thing, a similar truth, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, there's grace to help. What an encouragement that statement is in its own. Even if the Lord didn't go any further, there's not just grace to save, there's grace to sustain, grace to help us. But when do we get that grace to help? You get it in time of need. And not a moment before that, brethren and sisters. So you might be afraid this morning. You might be anxious today. But the Lord wants you to know when the time actually comes, he'll give you the grace. He'll give you the strength that you require. So I want you to see that. There's personal strength, proportionate strength. Think as well of the idea of perpetual strength. The text refers to days, not in the singular, but in the plural. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. That is, the promise is not just for today. It's not just for one day in your life. The promise the Lord gives here, and it's basically true of nearly every promise in the Bible, but the promise the Lord gives here is a promise for every day. Here's a word to your heart, men and women, that is lifelong. You can stand upon it all the days of your life. We sometimes hear about things that is a lifetime guarantee. Well, I want you to see this promise, Deuteronomy 33:25. It brings with it, it carries with it, a lifetime guarantee. It's perpetual. What that means is the Lord will keep on fulfilling it right until the end of your days. And interesting that it talks here about our days, not our weeks or months. It's right down to days. Well, the Lord will keep on fulfilling this promise to you right until the very end of your days, to the last one, right until the very end of your life. As long as you live upon this earth, you can depend upon this promise. And I encourage you to take that in this morning. The Lord, men and women, will give you strength for every trial. The idea, if we could put it like this, you will run out of days on this earth before you will run out of strength, before you will run out of His strength to cope with your days upon this earth. Isn't that a tremendous thing? You'll run out of days before you'll run out of His strength. You think of the Psalm 23, goodness and mercy shall follow me. When will that goodness and mercy follow? All the days of my life. Not some of them, the most of them, the good days. The promise of the shepherd's psalm is for every day. And what a blessing, men and women. Friday night, we pondered for a few minutes at the end of the dinner those words in Lamentations 3. His compassions fail not. There's not a day they fail. The verse goes on to say, they are new every morning. It's not a tremendous thing. He didn't say, we will experience His love now and again. He didn't say that there's a limited supply placed upon His compassions and that it has to be rationed out. Listen to the words of the promise again. His compassions fail not, men and women. They are new every morning. You take that in. The great reality is there is a fresh supply of His compassion, of His loving kindness, a fresh supply of all of those things with every new day that dawns in your life. You think of the words of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And remember the bread there. The Bible in the Old Testament and the book of Psalms talks about bread that strengthens the heart of man. Bread strengthens the body. So it's very much in keeping with our theme today. But the teaching of the verse is that God's supply of strength, it's a daily thing, men and women. Our daily bread. Whatever number of days God gives you, some are given more days than others. But whatever number of days God gives you here in this life, there will be strength for every one of them. Just as He gives you the days, so too, men and women, He will give you the strength to face those days and the strength to pass through them. You know, if we're honest, sometimes we fail to see, we fail to discern and to take in just how constant, how prolonged, how permanent God's blessings are. How prolonged and permanent God's help and support for us of His children really is. You contemplate this, men and women, and you contemplate it carefully this morning. in this morning worship service, because a truth, it is a truth to give you peace in the midst of every storm. And the truth is, as long as you live, the Lord will give you strength for every day. And He'll give you strength for every trial. And when you do reach the last day, that day that you'll need most strength of all, that day when you come to face death and face the grave and face eternity itself, when you reach your last day upon this earth, He'll not fail you then either. He will give you then the strength and the grace you need for that great day and for that journey too, as you pass over Jordan into that world, that other world that lies before us. There's one other thing I'll mention. The message wouldn't be complete without it. We've thought a little today of personal strength, proportionate strength, perpetual strength. Remember that it is provided strength. Let me remind you, let me stress that this strength of which we're speaking today, this great strength, you don't have it yourself. You don't have it naturally. And it doesn't matter, men and women, how young that you might be. The book of John talks about the young men that are strong. Well, it doesn't matter how young you are. You don't have this strength in yourself. It doesn't matter how strong, and we all know that different people have different levels of strength. Some have a stronger body, stronger constitution, and so on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how young you are, how strong you are, how healthy you are. You don't have this strength yourself. You think, why would the Lord promise it to us if you already had it? This is something, men and women, that only the Lord can give, that only the Lord Himself can supply. And He has promised to do it, and He's promised to do it here. That's what He's promising, to give you the strength that you need. Do you remember Paul's words writing to the Philippian church? He said, I can do all things. Now, what a prospect that is, as you look out on life. Sometimes there are things we think we can't do. Well, just consider what Paul said there. What a prospect. I can do all things. There's not a thing in life that you can't face. There's not a thing in life, men and women, that you can't handle as a child of God. I can do all things. He's saying you can handle every situation in life, or every situation that life will throw at you. How can it be done? Well, there's only one way. Through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Just as He is the only one who can save you, and He is. And I want to emphasize that to some in the meeting that as yet have not received Christ as their Savior. Just as He's the only one who can save you, so too, men and women, Christ is the only one who can strengthen you to face life's battles and to face life's challenges. And what that means is, for one thing, you need to keep your eyes on Him. Don't get your eyes on the storm. Don't get your eyes on others. That's one of the greatest problems in the Christian church. People get their eyes on men. I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas. That was one of the things that caused the division in the early church. You need to keep your eyes on Him. And you need to be in fellowship. You need to be in constant, daily communion with Christ. And that's how you'll get the strength to be able to say, I can do all things, face all things in this world. Do you remember the words of Isaiah? Just take a moment to consider them carefully, how relevant they are to this theme. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. What a promise that is, men and women. And the Lord's the one that does it. He gives power to the faint. Are you fainting today? Are you weary? Are you weak? All that you've been through, all the trials, has brought you to the point of exhaustion and weakness, and you're ready to fall. Well, He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. How does that happen, brethren and sisters? Who can have that experience? Well, But that same chapter in Isaiah has the answer. It's they that wait upon the Lord that shall renew their strength. Always remember, that's a promise for those that pray. That those that take the time daily and weekly to seek the face of God. You know, it's very interesting, the marginal reading to those words. The margin in the Bible gives an alternative reading to that is found in the text. Those words renew their strength. Well, the marginal reading there is change. And the idea is what the Lord will do is he will change your weakness. Or if we use the word exchange, he will exchange your weakness for his strength. And that, men and women, is what will happen if you take time to pray, if you take time to wait upon the Lord. You think of the question, why are there so many weak Christians in the day in which we live? Well, there's a simple answer to that. And the answer is there are so many Christians who don't pray as they should, don't spend time in prayer as they ought. Can I ask you, do you need strength today? Strength for the path ahead? Strength for the trials of life, for the weaknesses that infirmity and sickness has brought to you? Do you need strength for the path ahead? Are you like Gideon and his 300 men? The Bible says they were faint, yet pursuing. And that's how we get sometimes in the Christian life, in the service of Christ. We get faint, and yet we're pursuing. Is that how you feel today? Well, then what you need to do is just pray and ask God for the strength that you need. You remember what James taught? We have not because we ask not. We won't have it. We can't have it until we take the time to ask God for it. Remember, brethren and sisters, a simple truth of the Christian life. The promises that are found in the Bible, they're there to be pleaded. Pleaded before God and with God in prayer. And I want to encourage you in this week that is ahead, you plead this promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You say, Lord, I need help. I need strength. I feel so weak. And I'm asking you to give it, to provide it for me. I'm asking you to fulfill in my life and in my experience right now. I'm asking you to fulfill the promise that you have given to me. I'll say this to you as a finish. Contrary to what the world thinks, and contrary, men and women, to what the world teaches, contrary to human wisdom and to human reasoning, the reality is this. Weakness is the way to real strength. Most Christians are not too weak to be blessed. It's the opposite. Most Christians are too strong to be blessed. And that's why sometimes the Lord has to weaken us. He has to intervene in our life, has to weaken us sometimes in body. Do you remember what the Lord did to Jacob at that night in Peniel? The Lord touched the hollow of his thigh and he caused him to limp. For the rest of his life, Jacob remembered that night, never forgot it. He limped along for the remainder of his days. The Lord had to weaken him, you see. If you read the portion carefully, the idea is that he was struggling against the Lord. And that's why the Lord had to touch him. And sometimes we wrestle against the Lord as well. We wrestle against the Lord's will and the Lord's way. And in order to make us submissive and surrender, he has to do the same with us. He has to touch us and weaken us. You think of Paul's words to the Corinthians. When I am weak, then am I strong. The Lord said to Paul on that same occasion, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So I want you to see, men and women, it's only when we're weak, and it's only when we really feel and acknowledge that weakness, it's then and only then that we turn to the Lord and we cast ourselves upon him as we really should. And it's only then as we do cast ourselves upon him that we ask him to give us the help and to give us the strength and to give us the support and to give us the power that we need to carry on amidst all the trials of life. So here's a promise, men and women, for those that are weak. A promise of strength. Of strength for the way, whatever way life might bring you. Think of the promise just as I finish. As thy days, whatever your days might be, and whatever days might life might bring to you. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. I pray the Lord will encourage your heart through his word today.